Our scriptures today, believe it or not, have something in common. Both Abraham and Peter think that they know what they need in this world. Abram wants a family. He wants all the things most people want. But in order to receive those things, he has to give up all the things he thought he needed. He has to give up his name. He has to give up his home, what he thought was important, and follow God. He had to give up on all he knew in order to receive all that God had prepared for him. Peter also knew what he wanted. He'd follow this man, and he wanted this man to be the Messiah. And to Peter, that meant taking over the powers that be and shaking things up. It meant overthrowing the Romans. It meant showing them who was in power. It didn't mean giving up. It didn't mean just willingly going to die. It didn't mean walking right into their hands, not even trying to hide or fight. What good did that do? Why would he just give up and let it happen? Why would he walk into the face of death and not stand up to this evil? And Jesus responds to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan in the scripture, in this scripture, is not the Satan we think of as the devil. It is the Satan which translated is the word that means adversary, or the person who gets in between you and your goal. So Jesus says to Peter, "You're in between me and what I need to do. Get behind me. Get behind me and walk with me. Step out of the way. You're blocking me from what I need, what I have to do." You see, Peter had no way of understanding a life beyond that one at that very moment. None of the disciples could understand the idea of resurrection. So to think that what Jesus had in his future and what he was asking them to accept was death. Death in their eyes meant giving up. It meant failure. I think it's difficult for all of us to admit that in many ways we're broken. We've failed. We've fallen short. Whether it be in grief and loss, in weakness or pain, or in a time of dependency, we don't want people to see us broken. We don't want to see people to see us vulnerable or with our guard down. We want people to think that we're strong and capable of handling anything. I hope it's okay with John for me to tell this story, but I was at the hospital with Helen and John on the day of Helen's stroke. And I looked at John and I said, "Can we send out an email to tell people what has happened?" And he said, "Not yet. Let's wait and see what the reports are." And then seconds later, he turned to me and he said, "Wait, what am I saying? Yes, send it out. We need prayers, all the prayers that we can get." That so moved me because that's our first gut reaction, isn't it? Wait, don't tell anyone. Let's wait and see. Maybe it's not true. In all our actuality, it is our brokenness. It is our brokenness that makes us able to relate to one another. Our brokenness unites us together. When we're called to take up our cross, we're perhaps called to be honest in our own brokenness, which then allows us to demonstrate our willingness to enter into brokenness with others. There's not a soul who hasn't felt some sort of brokenness. sure they're not all the same. It almost never works to say to another person, I know how you feel, because we don't. We can't be inside someone's thoughts or feelings, and we all grieve and respond differently. But we can all say we're all broken. Even small children know what it feels like to fall or get hurt or fail and even grieve. We're following the one who declared that nothing, no failure, no grief, no brokenness at all can separate us from the love of God. Christ, in his willingness to stand right in the darkness, shows us that he's also willing to stand in the darkness with us. When we admit to our brokenness, we join with our sisters and brothers, and we stand whole in Christ. Rebecca and her husband lived in Warsaw as the Nazis entered the town. They knew trouble was soon to come. Rebecca and her husband were Jewish, and they had a newborn child. That night, Rebecca snuck out of her home and went to visit a childhood school friend who was a Christian and married, with no children. She asked her friend to take her child and raise her as her own, hoping to spare the child's life. The discussion lasted into the wee hours of the night. The friend was concerned that Rebecca would regret doing this and that her husband would regret this decision. But after much discussion, the friend agreed to raise the child. And the child survived to live a very complete life. The friends never heard from Rebecca and her husband again. In that moment of fear and uncertainty, the mother thought only for her child and what might give her life. More certainty. And that was letting go of what she as a mother wanted, which was to hold her child and love her child and see her child grow up. Instead, she was willing to let go of herself for the sake of the child. Isn't that what Christ is asking us to do? Not to hand over our children or anything like that, but being willing to put others before yourself. Being willing to want the best for others, wanting to show Christ to others, and putting Christ before everything, even your own life. When Jesus asked, "What does it profit us to have the world but lose our life?" I admit I'm a bit puzzled. What does it profit us? Sadly, that's the world we live in, isn't it? Profit. What do we get out of it? That's what just about everything is about, isn't it? How do we move forward? How do we get more? How do we get bigger? Does Jesus really expect us to lay it all down and get nothing in return? Surely Jesus wants us to have it all. Everything we want and eternal life, right? It's what's often called the prosperity gospel. But it's not the gospel Jesus taught us. Jesus walked on the earth and showed us what was important, and it was the relationship with people. It was looking at people in the eyes. It was walking side by side with people. It was showing love and concern and sharing a better way. It was grace, and it was mercy. I know I've used this quote before, but Dan Roberts says the difference between grace and mercy is that grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, and mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Perhaps some of the most important things we do on this earth is giving people what they don't deserve and not giving them what they do deserve. If I'm honest with you, at times that's much harder than at others. We've gone through some pretty hard times recently as a congregation. We've lost some longtime friends. We've had some of our members suffer some very tragic illnesses. We've had other members go through some personal trauma. And in the midst of all of that, I sometimes want to curl up with a blanket in my cocoon. And if I'm honest, I just want to cry. That's the natural feeling. And in the midst of that, I don't feel very giving, and I don't feel very forgiving. I honestly feel wrung out. But that's exactly when we need to be together. Just like I talked about in the beginning, when we unite with those who are broken, when we gather here Sunday after Sunday, even when we might not feel like getting out of bed in the morning, together in our brokenness, we become whole. I think about members of our congregation today who right now are in Port Aransas, not because they're master builders or master painters or repairers or cleaners, but because they are children of God who in their humble brokenness wish to go and unite with others who in their brokenness feel lost and forgotten. The very act of arriving in town and saying, "We're here to do whatever you need us to do." That very small act brings willingness, brings wholeness to the people they meet and help. You play a part in that, your willingness to send groups, your willingness to pray for groups, your willingness to support them financially. In that, we all say, you are not alone. Together, we choose to take up the cross and follow the steps of Jesus. That's a rather beautiful thought for me this Lenten season. Knowing that this congregation has helped make that community a little stronger. That we've helped them stand a little higher. To feel a little more seen and heard and loved. It's beautiful for me to know that I can stand before you, broken as I am, and with your love and your grace and your mercy, I'm whole. May we go into this world in all of our brokenness, not ashamed or hiding, but willing to stand with others who are broken. Side by side, hand in hand. Amen and amen.